Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
U.S. corporations' hiring plans last year totaled 769,953 workers, the fewest since 2015, according to the labor research firm Challenger, Gray and Christmas. Private sector data shows that the need to hire new employees for all of last year was the lowest in nearly a decade. The ADP report showed that there were just 122,000 jobs created in December. And again, another private sector source, automatic data processing. We also have the private data from the Institute of Supply Management. The ISM Manufacturing Survey showed the employment subcomponent was 45.3, which means employment is in contraction. Below 50 is in contraction. 45.3 is below 50. And that is contracting faster than it was in the previous month. Also, the ISM Service Sector Survey showed that job growth was just barely in expansion territory at 51.4. But then we have the official government information coming from the Department of Labor. Initial jobless claims and the monthly non-farm payroll report have been remarkable pieces of misdirection and fiction regarding the health of the economy. The benign initial claim figures could just be the result of fewer people being hired. And if there's less people being hired, there are just less people eligible to file unemployment insurance claims. However, what is the excuse behind the constant need to adjust the initial non-farm payroll report number lower, which will surely be the case once again for the December figure? According to the Labor Department, there were 256,000 net new jobs created in December, and the unemployment rate ticked down to 4.1%. The estimate among private economists was for just 165,000 net new jobs. It should be noted that the raw number before seasonal adjustments was for a decline of 100,000 jobs, but that's what the Department of Labor says, 256,000 jobs, and of course, the U.S. 30-year bond yield immediately spiked to 5% on the news. Now, one would think Jerome Powell is in the process of hiking rates based on the data. But since he is more concerned about the interest expense on U.S. debt, a more restrictive monetary policy is out of the question for the foreseeable future. In fact, Powell still wants to cut rates, albeit more slowly this year than he did last year. However, the long end of the bond market is reacting very differently about the inflation and insolvency issues regarding the Treasury complex. In fact, here's some data that I find very, very disturbing. Core CPI for December was reported this morning, rising at 3.2% year over year. Meanwhile, headline CPI was 2.9% year over year, which is up from 2.7% in the previous month. Neither the headline or core rate of inflation is anywhere close to the Fed's 2% target. Inflation has been above that target for 45 months in a row, for those that are counting. Indeed, even the ISM survey shows inflation is still a problem. The prices paid component shot up to 64.4 from 58.2 last month. Inflation remains an issue due to the $2.3 trillion of excess reserves that have poured out of the reverse repo facility and into the economy over the past 3 years. Those were reserves, bank reserves, that were sitting fallow at the Fed, out of the economy. They came out of the reverse repo facility and were used to purchase T-bills. So there's been a massive fiscal and monetary impulse over the past 3 years, which has caused inflation to remain way above the Fed's 2% target. But the Fed doesn't care about that because interest expense is greater than $1 trillion. And that's a negative feedback loop. You know, greater interest expense, higher deficits, which means more money printing, which means more inflation, which means more interest expense. And it goes around and around. The reverse repo facility, here's some good news. The process of the draining of the reverse repo facility will exhaust itself imminently. And that should be the major change in store by the second half of this year. It could be the first quarter, end of the first quarter, but by the second half of this year, it's over. But for now, we have inflation that has destroyed the purchasing power of the middle class already. And that explains why consumer confidence fell in December to 73.2. Inflation expectations rose to 3.3%, up from 2.8% in the prior month. This is the highest inflation expectation from consumers since 2008. I want to expound on something extremely important that I highlighted last week. I want to expound on that and highlight it again. Rising interest rates are the predominant problem facing markets in early 2025. And that is the reason why the S&P was down before the start of trading today. The S&P 500 was down on the year. And after today's trading, if it ends, I'm recording this podcast in the middle of the day, if it ends where it is, the S&P will be about unchanged for the year. The major issue facing the U.S. is the same as it is across most of the developed world. The highest real estate values and equity valuations in history exist while the level of global debt as a percentage of GDP is at a record. These dangerous conditions exist just as interest rates are rising to levels not seen in decades in Europe, in Japan, and in the United States. The Japanese 10-year bond yield is the highest since 2011. In the United Kingdom, the borrowing costs are the highest since 1998. And not to be left out, the U.S. benchmark treasury rates have climbed to the levels not witnessed since 2007, just prior to the global financial crisis. This is happening as central banks are trying to push rates down. But as they reduce short-term interest rates, which are the rates that they directly control, longer duration rates are rising rapidly, meaning central banks could be losing control over their respective yield curves. Inflation and insolvency are the primary reasons. What will be the surprise for Wall Street is that governments are rendered mostly powerless to prevent the rise in yields when inflation and insolvency risks are currently the problem. After all, what governments have done in the past to fix problems in the economy, quote unquote fix, paper over, whatever way you want to phrase it, fix the problems in the economy, fix the problems in the stock market, and fix even the problems in the bond market is to borrow and print money, to bring down borrowing costs, push them lower. After all, that is what governments really do best, borrow and print money. But what happens when governments are already choking on debt and inflation has already destroyed the living standards of the population, as is the case in America? Those inflation fears are fresh in the minds of the bond vigilantes, causing bond yields to rise. Therefore, any further increase in deficit spending that is monetized by central banks only serves to validate the insolvency and intractable inflation concerns, sending borrowing costs even higher, thus making the problem worse, not better. We currently have a net long position of just 10% in the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle strategy, precisely because of what I just said. Very, very expensive stock market. Growth that looks good but is not that great in reality. And interest expense that is spiking on a record amount of debt. Hence, we believe the risk-reward dynamic is not in favor of an aggressively long posture at this time. Yet, we also do not think the market is about to crash. That's what the model says. Not a lot of upside and not the time for a significant downside. If it was time, we would become net short. I mean, sometimes collecting a guaranteed rate of well above 4% in safe short-term treasuries for a brief period makes the most sense with most of our asset holdings. This is one of those times. But the plan is to carefully participate in whatever remains of this bull market, which we continue to do carefully, safely, just as we also remain ready to capitalize on its ultimate demise. We have seen the tremors of 2019, 2020, and 2022, but the major earthquake should be this year in 2025, and we are fully prepared to take advantage of that.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.